Begin the current tab, Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Ayin Ches. We begin on the bottom of Ayin Zayin Mabez, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with another halacha from Rabbi Yechanan on this topic of our parak of Hafaras Nedarim. And that's what we're discussing. There's two elements. There's Hafaras Nedarim, which is what a father could do to a single daughter, or a husband to his wife, which is when she makes a vow that they can be made for that. Then there's a halacha called Hataras Nedarim, which is when someone regrets a nedar, they can go to Chacham and be Pesach, and they could be Shail and ask the Chacham to find either a Pesach or, according to some, even a Charata. Now, Amr B'Yechon, he says that Chacham Sha'amar B'Loshin Baal, if the sage who he does Hataras Nedarim uses the vernacular of the husband who uses the words of Hafar, which is when someone says Mufrlech. So instead of saying Mutrlach, he says Mufrlach, or Ubal Sha'amar B'Loshin Chacham, or if a husband uses the terminology of the Chacham, where instead of saying mufalach, which is what the mechanics of what the husband does, which is havara, instead he says mutulach, loy maklum. Bechlin says that either one, if they switch the terminology, has not accomplished anything. Now the Ram points out that the terminology of the husband is explicit in the pasuk, that it's a terminology of havara, because that's the word that the Torah uses. Now the term that the Chacham used, which is mutulach, he says, where do we find that source? That's learned out from the pasuk of Lo Yachal Devar, which says that somebody who makes a neder cannot make his words into chulin, can't make it things which are not consecrated. Now the exposition, the way that there's a drash on that is that but others could be meichlit for him, which is that the sage could make his words into chulin. Now by chulin, the Ran says it is appropriate to use the word mutter, because something as hektish as aser, chulin is mutter. So therefore, since the pasuk is using the term of yachil, that's where we get the source of the Chacham when he's being matur neder to use the word mutulach. But actually, the Ram brings from the Yerushalmi that says that by a Chacham, he doesn't have to use only mutulach. He can also say inkan neder, inkan shvu. There is no neder, there's no shvu over here. Because as he brings from the Yerushalmi, where that the Zaken says inkan neder, inkan shvu, and he says, therefore, that's the understanding that we always say that mufalach that a husband says is from here and on, where it just stops it. But the terminology of a Chacham, we always say, is oikrit mi'ikari. It says that it's never was. That fits into the wording that the Yerushalmi says of what inkan neder, inkan shvu, there is no neder. It was faulty and it was flawed from its beginning. But either way, that's what the Brayis is saying, that if they switch their terminologies, it's not valid because they're working under different mechanics, and therefore you have to use the case-specific type of words. Now, what's the source for this halacha that it has to be exactly as it's written? The time, like in the Braisa, pasuk says in Mamidbar Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis, says Ve'idaber Moshe al Rashi Amatis, that Moshe spoke to the leaders of every tribe, Levnei Yisrael Lamer, to the Jewish people, saying, as the Gemara quotes that part of the pasuk, Zehadava, this is the thing Asher Tziva Hashem, which Hashem has commanded. Now, that the Braisa says, that teaches you Hachacha Mater, it's only the sage that could use Hatara, Vein Baal Mater, but the husband can't use Hatar, only Hafar. Now, as the Brice explains, because Sheyachal, you would think, based on the Kavachem, that actually that the husband could. Because Umah Chacham Shei Mefer, if the Chacham cannot do Hafaras Nedar, yet still Mater, he could be Mater the Nedar. So Baal Shei Mefer, so the husband that could even do Hafaras Nedar, meaning that which that works even without finding any Pesach, any Charat, he could just go ahead and say, I'm dissolving it. So Ein Din Shei Mater, isn't it a Kavachem that he could definitely do Hataras Nedarim? Tavalim, that's what the pasuk's teaching as we continue on the top of Ayin Ches and Aleph, that no, Zehadover, this is what's written. In other words, it has to be what's called Dvarm Kiksavim, exactly as it's written, that the Baal cannot do Hatar, because the pasuk says in the context of the husband, says Im Hafer Yafer Oisam Isha, if the husband will do Hafara, which tells us that Chacham Matav Ein Baal Matav, that no, only the sage can do Hatara, but the husband cannot do Hatar, he has to do as the Torah tells him, which is only Hafar. So to the other way around, Tani Idach, we learned another Braisa. Zehadavar, it says in the pasuk, this is the thing which tells us that Baal Mefer, Vein Chacham Mefer, that only the husband could do Afar and the Chacham cannot do Afar. Because Sheyachal, you would think based on the Kavachem that actually the Chacham could do Afar Asnadarm. Because Ama Baal Shei Mater, if the husband cannot do Atar Asnadarm, even if he finds some type of a flaw with what his wife's neder was, it doesn't make a difference, that's not within his capacity. It's only a Chacham could do that. And yet still Mefer, he could be Mefer the neder. So Chacham Shematr, so a sage that could do Hataras Nedarim, Ein Adin Shemefer, isn't it a Kavachem that he could also do Hataras Nedarim? That's what the pasuk teaches again, Zehadavar, which is specific. This is the thing. Bal meifa vein chacham meifa. When it says in the pasuk, it says only hafer yafa oisim ishitz. The hazmat could do afar, but the chacham cannot do afar. So that's the source for this halacha, where they each have to use specifically their terminology. Now, related to this pasuk that we're bringing a zahad davar, and regarding the parsha of Nedarim, the Gemara brings the following brisa. Nemar kan, it says over here in the parsha of Nedarim, as we just quoted, zahad davar. Now, v'nemar lahalon, it says over there in Sefer Vayikra, also the same word zahad davar b'shchut echutz, in a different context of halacha, which regarding the prohibition of slaughtering a korban outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So on that, the brisa says, Exereshav, zahad davar, zahad davar, to tell you, we're comparing the two areas of halacha. Ma b'shchut echutz, just like by the prohibition of sacrificing animals out of the Beis HaMikdash. Aharon uvanav v'chol Yisrael, that applies, that prohibition, to Aaron and his sons, meaning the Kohen that usually do that avodah, but it also applies to all the Jewish people, because that's what it says in the beginning of that parasha there. It says, Dabra l'Aaron v'abonav al kol b'nei Yisrael, which tells us that regarding shchut echutz, everyone is in that prohibition. So therefore, the Gezeirah Sheva tells us, Av parasha is Nedarim. Same thing applies for the parasha of Nedarim. That's also Aaron Navana B'chol Yisrael, that everybody could be Matar and Neder, which is within the parasha of Nedarim, Aaron, his children, and all the Jewish people. Now, moreover, the Gezeirah Sheva works the other way, that tells us, Umar Khan, just like over here by Nedarim, it says, it's with done with the Rosh Hamatis, with the leaders of the Jewish people, because it says Rosh Hamatis in the parasha of Nedarim, so Aflahal and Rosh Hamatis is also over there by the Isra of Shchut Echutz that applies to the leaders of the Jewish people, which the Gemara is going to explain what relevance the Shchut Echutz have to do with the Rosh Hamatis. So the Gemara first goes through the Brice and explains each piece. First question is, some actually put this into the Girsa, that Aron Uvanav Achol Yisrael, the Parashas Nedarim L'may Hilchasa. We're saying that just like B'Shchut Echutz, it applies to everyone in the Jewish people, so too with the Parasha of Nedarim, it applies to all the Jewish people. What relevance does it have? So Amrav Acha Bar Yaakov, that's coming to tell us, L'hachshir Shloisha Had Yaitis, that's coming to tell us that yes, everyone's kosher to do Hataras Nedarim, which is as long as you get three regular people, they can be Matan the Neder. It's every Jewish person that can be Matan the Neder. Now the Ranjas points out this, that it says Had Yaitis, which is the term for a common man. It's not every single common man that's kosher, even with three of them. Has to be, as the Ran explains this on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, has to be somebody that at least when you explain to him the concept, he gets it. Which, as it's brought in Yerushalmi, has to be three people that yoidin leftoyach. They know how to find some type of an opening. They can be matur like a zakan, meaning like a yachad mumcha. Now, the Ran just points out that although that would seemingly be problematic then, because then how are you comparing Nedarim to Shchut Echutz? Shchut Echutz, that inclusion of Kol Yisrael that's included in that violation, that's every single person, every single hedyot. Now here, regarding the Gezeirah Sheva Nedarim, you're not saying it's every single hedyot, it's only someone that at least gets it and understands. And that the Ran says it's not difficult, because that's intrinsic in the parasha of Nedarim itself. Meaning, yes, hedyotis are kasher, just like by Shchut Echutz, meaning that's where the halacha applies, that it's aser, so too for the parasha of the Hataras Nedarim of Nedarim. It's just that, when you define the context of hedyot, by Taras Nedarim, it has to be talking about somebody that gets it and understands when you tell it to him. Because obviously, that if you're going to take somebody that doesn't understand what he's doing, even when he's being Matar Neder, he's not being Matar Neder because he doesn't know what he's doing. So that doesn't contradict the Gezeirah Sheva. Even the Hedyotis doesn't mean every single person, but it means it doesn't have to be someone that's a Yachid, it doesn't have to be someone that's a Mumcha, that's a professional in this topic. Now, however, on this, the Gemara asks, but Vaharoshi Hamatis Ksiv. But in the parsha of Nedarim, it says clearly that the one who's being matah the neder is the leaders, meaning the chachamim, which sounds like, but hedyotis, common people, cannot be matah the neder. So how are you saying from the Gezeirah Sheva, you're learning out that it could be even with regular people? So Amrav Chizda, B'itim, as some say, was Rabbi Yechanan, that is a reference, B'yachid Mumcha. In other words, when it says Rashi Amatis, who does that refer to when you're being matah the neder, that it has to be a chacham, is talking about when an individual is doing it. In other words, since you have a Gezeirah Sheva from Shchut Echutz that comes to tell you that even regular people could do Hataras Nedarim, yet Rosh Hamatis seems to exclude common people. It has to be only the leaders of the Jewish people. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that what you have to say is to be able to have both of these halachas is that Rosh Hamatis, the leader, is when he's an individual. So if an individual is being Matar the Neder, then he has to be a Chacham. But if he's a common man, that's what we say, that that's what's enough. With three, that three could be even a common man. Now that around wonders, where do you see the word three? All you learn out from Shchud Dechutz is that it could be even a Hedyot, and that he says that since we're excluding a Hedyot from being one, because that's what we learn from Rosh Hashanah, that if you're one, you have to be a Chacham, so therefore we go there to the next number, is not two, but rather three, which three is always what's used in the Bezdin. So therefore, if we're having Hedyotim, we're going to say that it's going to be three Hedyotis that are going to do Hataras Nadar. Now, so that the Gemara said was the Gzeir Shava learning from Shchut Echutz to Nadar. Now, the other way around, the Gemara asks, Rashi Amatis B'Shchut Echutz L'may Halchasa. This that we're saying that just like it says the leaders of the Jewish people, by Hataras Nadar, which we explained that's for Yachad Mumcha. Now, when we're saying that that halach applies to Shchut Echutz, what relevance does the prohibition of slaughtering out of the Beis HaMikdash have to do with the leaders of the Jewish people? So Amrav Sheshes, he says, Loimid has to tell you, Shia She'elo Behekdash. That if, let's say someone, what we're talking about, Shchut Echutz, is taking a carbon, obviously a lot of slaughter regular animals out of the Beis HaMikdash, talking about a carbon that's Hekdash. So what we're saying, the relevance of the halach of Rashi Amatis, which was halach of Ataras Nadarim, through Yachin Mumcha by Nadarim, we're saying the same thing applies to Shchut Echutz. How so? If someone took an animal and made it into a carbon, it was Makdashit. And then, however, he slaughtered it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And then after that, he went to a Chacham and was shoyel on it to undo the sanctification of the Hekdash that he made in this animal, he'll be exempt from the violation of Shchut Echutz. And the reason being is because since there's She'elah by Hekdash, meaning you could undo, just like by a Neder, you could undo the sanctification of the animal, so it's like it was never Kaddish. And the reason being is because when the Chacham is Matar Neder, he uproots it retroactively like it never was. And that's what we're learning out from the halacha of Nedarim of Rashi Matis. The same thing applies to Hekdash of Shchut Echutz, that actually you'll be exempt from slaughtering outside because it was like it was never Hekdash in the first place because of the Rashi Matis of the Chacham that was Matar, the Hekdash that you made. But on this, the Gemara asks, but Labei Shammai do Amar Ein Sheila Behekdash, according to Beis Shammai, that's inherent in his opinion that's brought in Masechtas Nazdaf Laman Beis, that there is no halacha of undoing Hekdash that you did. And the reason being is because Beis Shammai's opinion is that Hekdash Tois is Hekdash. Even if you erroneously made a Hekdash, it's still going to be considered Hekdash. Now, therefore, it's obviously, according to Beis Shammai, that you don't have the halacha of being shoyel on Hekdash, because the whole reason how She'ela, going to a Chacham to be Matar Neder, works is only because that makes it that obviously your Neder was in error. So therefore, it was an error, so it wasn't a real Neder. That's how it helps by going to a Chacham to be Matar Neder. But for Hekdash, that won't work, according to Beis Shammai, because he holds that even if it was an error, it will still be Hekdash. So according to him, Rashi Hamatis Tichziv B'Shchut Echutz L'may Hechusa. So what is the relevance of having Rashi Hamatis B'Shchut Echutz? It can't be like we just explained for the other opinion, let's say like Beis Hillel, who holds that it's to tell you that because of the ability of being Matar the Hekdash, but according to Beis Shammai, you don't have that. Now, as Ran explains that, since we are making this Gzeir Shava of Shchut Echutz and Nadarim, essentially it's like it says by Shchut Echutz the words Rosh Hamatis, because that's what a Gzeir Shava does. And if that's the case, what does Rosh Hamatis come to teach us according to Beis Shammai? So I think my answer is you're right. Beis Shammai less lo Gzeir Shava. Beis Shammai does not hold to this Gzeir Shava. There is no comparison between these two halachas of Shchut Echutz and of Nadarim. And it's not like it says Rosh Hamatis by Shchut Echutz. But now the Gemara has to explain the opinion of Beis Shammai. If that's the case, so the Gemara asks, according to Beis Shammai, that doesn't have a Gzeir Shava, so Zeh HaDavid B'Parashat Nadarim, L'may K'siv. What are the words, this is the thing that it's written in the Parashat Nadarim coming to say? If it's like Beis Hillel that is a Gzeir Shava, so that's why it says it, it's what's called Mufne, it's superfluous, but it's there to tell us, to like symbolism, to compare it to that other Parashat that has the same words, to match them up and to compare the halachas. But now that it's not there for that purpose, according to Beis Shammai, because he doesn't have this Gzeir Shava, so what are the words coming to tell us? So that the Gemara answers, like we said in the previous Braisa, Leimitz, to tell you that Chacham Matar ve'im Bal Matar, and Bal Mefer ve'im Chacham Mefer, to tell you that actually that each one can only do exactly as it's written by him. It says the Bal is Mefer, Hafer, Yafer, Isim, Isha. It can only be Mefer, it can't be Matar. And the Chacham can only be Matar, it can't be Mefer. Now, on that, the Ran says, but according to Beis Hillel, that he used the word Zehadavah for Gzeir Shava, so where does he know this halacha from? So on that, the Ran says, you could say that he learns it out from it itself. In other words, you're right, the word Zehadavah by Nadarim is not mufna, it's not superfluous. It's used to teach this halacha that the Baal could only be Mefer and the Chacham could only be Matar. But the word Zehadavah by Shchut Echutz, they are mufna, there it's superfluous. And since it's mufna mitzad echad, since at least superfluous on one of the two contexts, so that's enough to teach us a halacha of gzeirah shava. But now the Gemara continues asking on Bishamai that doesn't have the gzeirah shava, so zehadav b'shchuti chutz l'maiksev. So according to Beis Hillel, it doesn't have to teach you anything by shchuti chutz, because it actually needs to be superfluous to teach us the gzeirah shava. According to Beis Shammai, that doesn't have gzeirah shava, so what does it say the word zehadava by the prohibition of slaughtering the carbon outside of Beis HaMikdash for? So that the Gemara says, Loimer, it's to tell you that ala shchit chayev. In other words, it has to be like we said, zehadava is devarm kiksav, and it has to be exact like this. In other words, just like there, the pasuk is talking about slaughtering, it's when you slaughter a carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash that you're liable. But ve'in chayev al malika, and that is, malika is that by certain bird karbanis that the kohen would take his long nail, his fingernail, and stick it into the nape of the animal's, of the bird's head, and that would kill it, and that would be the equivalent of shchita for the animal type of karbanis. So, and that is what the Gemara is saying, that Meshami learns that Zehadava tells you it's only for slaughtering, but even though malika is an avoida too, for that there's no prohibition, there's no liability of the prohibition of chutz, of bringing a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which the Ran says, and so where does Beis Hillel know this halacha from? Because he can't learn it from Zehadava, it has to be Mufna. So he learns that as it's brought in Teres Kanan from a different word from Asher Yishchat, which is only slaughtering and not Malika. But now the Gemara says, El Bishamai, but according to Bishamai, Lahachshu Gimel HaYotis Menolon, where does he know that for Hataras Nadarm, you don't have to be only a Mumcha, but you could even be three regular people, because according to Beis Hillel, we learned it out from the Gzeirah Shava of Shchutei Chutz, which just like over there, it's El Kol B'nei Yisrael. So to over here, it's Kol B'nei Yisrael, which is three common people. But according to Beis Shammai, that doesn't have the Gzeirah Shava, where does he know this halacha from? So that the Gemara says, Nafkulahu Midirav Asi Bar Nasan, learns it from a different source. That's simply like it says, the pasuk in Vayikra. It says, Vayidaber Moshe es Meyadei Hashem al B'nei Yisrael. The Moshe Beinu spoke about the festivals of Hashem to the Jewish people. Now, on that the Gemara says, V'atanya, we'll learn the Braisim. B'yisek Lili Amri, he says, Moyadei Nemru, the festivals were said, but V'loi Nemru Shabbos Bereishis Iman. But Shabbos Bereishis, meaning the mitzvah of Shabbos, which is from of creation, the seventh day, that's not written, that's not together with the parasha of the festivals, which the Gemara's assumption originally is, meaning to say, in the Torah, it doesn't say Shabbos Bereishis next to the festivals. Benazai, I mean, he says, Moyadei Nemru, as it says in the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about the festivals, that says, but V'lo Nemru Parshas Nedarim Amon, but the parsha of vows, that's not together with the festivals. Now, that the Gemara says, Rav Asi Bar Nosan Kashle Hamasnin, he was bothered by the interpretation of this braisa. So Aslan Nardo Lekamedi Rav Sheshes. He came to Nardo to ask the question to Rav Sheshes. Bolashkech, and they didn't find Rav Sheshes there. So Asa Basra Lemechuzah, he went after him and to find him in Mechuzah. So Amalei, when he came to Rav Sheshes, he asked him the following question. He says, I don't understand. Basically, he said, Meyadei Hashem Nemru, it says there in the Torah regarding the festivals of Hashem. V'lei Nemru Shabbos Bereishis Iman. But he basically said, it doesn't say the story, the parasha of Shabbos next to it. On that, asked Rav Asi Bar Nosan, but v'oksiv Shabbos Iman, it's not true. It does say Shabbos Bereishis next to the festivals. Where if one looks at Parshas Emor, it says over there the mitzvah of Shabbos, and right after it talks about the Mayadis, the festivals in one parsha. V'su, moreover, he asked, the second opinion brought over there of Ben Azai said, Mayadei Hashem Nemru talks about the festivals of Hashem, v'lo Nemru Parshas Nedar Mimam, and it doesn't say next to it the parsha, the chapter of the vows with it, but it does say there right next to it. In other words, the parasha of Nedarim is written right next to the parasha of Meyadis, because in parasha of Pinchas talks about there at the end all of the Yom Tovim, and right after in the beginning of the next parasha in parasha of Matis it talks about the parasha of Nedarim. So this is exactly not what they're saying. They're saying it doesn't say near it, and actually if one looks at the Torah, it actually says right next to the festivals Shabbos and Nedarim. So only Rav Sheshes answered him. He says, no, Hochigitani, this is what the Braisa was saying. As we continue on, Talmud Beis said that, Me'adei Hashem, Tzrichen Kiddush Besim. When it was talking about the festivals of Hashem, what it was telling in the Braisa was that the festivals of Hashem need the sanctification of the courts of the month. In other words, as the Pasuk there says, says these are the festivals of Hashem, Asher Tikru Oisam B'mei Adam, which you will call out in their designated times. Now, the drasha of Oisam is, it's written with the same letters of Aleph Tav, Mem Sofit, and the Mem, is Atem, which means Asher Tikru Atem, that you should pronounce. What does that mean? Because Bezin has to sanctify the month to designate when is it that the festival is going to come out, because they could either make it on the day 30 or 31 of the previous month, depending when Rosh Chodesh are going to be. When the courts decide that, they will define when, let's say, the Pesach is going to be the 15th of the month, is it going to be the day before or the day after? So regarding the festivals of Hashem, that depends and it hinges on the sanctification of the courts. But on that is what was said in the Braisa, Shabbos of Bereishis ain't Tzricha Kiddush Bezin, but Shabbos of creation does not need the sanctification of the courts. In other words, the courts don't have to say, oh, today is Sunday, which means 7 days from now will be Shabbos. That doesn't depend. That goes automatically from creation. Every seventh day is going to be Shabbos, whether the courts say it or not. Now that's what the Braisa is saying from Rabbi Yisrael Glili when it says, Moya de Hashem Nemer, which says about the festivals of Hashem, meaning in the context of Kedushas Bezdin, which is the other part of that pasuk of Asher Tikru Oisam, which is Atem, that needs Kedushas Bezdin. But Shabbos Bereishis, when it says Loi Nemri Imon, wasn't said with it, of course it said right next to it. But it wasn't said with it regarding the topic of Kiddush HaChadosh, of the sanctification of the courts. And now that simile is what Benazai was saying. So too Benazai said, Meyadei Hashem Tzrichin Mumcha. The festivals of Hashem, they need the professionals, those that are proficient in being Mekadosh the Chodesh, and that's because of the festivals. And the reason being is because when it says about the Asher Tikru Oisam, who was it talking to? Who was Hashem talking to? To Moshe and to Aaron. That's what says Asher Tikru Atem. Who is you in the plural? You and your brother Aaron. So it sounds like that when you come into Mekadosh the Chodesh, for the Meyadim, for the festivals, you need to have two mumchen like Aaron and Moshe. Now, the only thing is that you can't have an equal number of courts. You never have an equal number. So you have to add on another one, so that's going to be three. So regarding Kiddush HaChodesh of the courts, not only do you need to have Kiddush Bezdin to decide it, but it also has to be mumchen, which is what Benazwa is adding on. And that is what he's saying, but v'ein parshas nedarm tzrichin mumcha. However, when he says that the parshas nedarm wasn't said with it, of course it says right next to it. Means to say it wasn't said with it in the context of this halacha of requiring a mumcha, and the reason being is because afilu bezin hadyoitis, because regarding the halacha of ataras nadarim, there it's going to be even if it's three common people. Now, as the Ran explains, the finishing touch of what the Gemara is explaining to the Braisa is, that is actually to the contrary. Since Shabbos and nadarim are written next to the parsha of festivals, now, but when it talks about the festival, it says, Eila Moyad Hashem, these are. Now, these is always saying this and not something else, which is an exclusionary term. So it's coming to say that, yes, those parashas that are said right next to us, which are Shabbos and the Nedarim, are not going to be exactly like us. Meaning, in the context of Shabbos, that means to say that you don't need the sanctification of the courts, because Shabbos designates itself, it doesn't need the courts to designate it. And for the parasha of Nedarim, it's to say that although by Moyadis you need to have it done with Mumchen like Moshe and Aaron, but by Nedarim, even three Hedyotis are going to be sufficient. And that's what the Braisa was talking about when it was saying that Shabbos and Nedarim are not like the Moyadis. Now, however, on this last halacha, the Gemara asks, but Voba parasha Nedarim, Rashi Amatis Ksiv. But however, regarding when it talks about the parasha of Nedarim, it says Rashi Amatis, which obviously tells us that Hedyotis are not Kashaf HaFaras Nedarim. So how can you say that you learn that from Elam to say that only for the Mi'adis you need to have Mumchen, which is what Benazi said, but for Hataras Nadarm you don't need? But how can you say, when it talks about Hataras Nadarm, it says that it has to be a Mumchen, it says Rosh Hamatis. And that the Gemara answers, which this is the source for Beis Shammai knowing this halacha, where Beis Hillel knows of Mezeh HaDavah, which Beis Shammai doesn't have the Gzer Shavah, and that Omer Rav Chizda, and V'itim, as some say, was Rabbi Yechanan, B'yachid Mumcha. In other words, when it says Rosh Hamatis in the Parsha of Nedarim, that was to say that only when you have a Mumcha, which is Rosh Hamatis, the leader of the Jewish people, who's a real sage, then it's enough with an individual. However, when it says in the Parsha of Miadis, Eila, which is excluding and saying that only here do you need to have a Mumcha, but by Parsha of Nedarim you don't need, that was talking about that when you have three people, then you don't need to have a mumcha, then it would be enough, even with three hedyotis. And again, that's the source of Beis Shammai knowing this halacha, that it's enough the Shleish Yaitis. Now the Rambam just points out that it sounds like from our sugya that which we're comparing the halacha of the yochid mumcha, which is permitted by nedarim, to the halacha of kiddush hachodesh, which needs three, and here it's enough with one. That just like by the miyadi Hashem, which was Toma Moshe and Aaron, that you need to have smicha. It sounds like that there's no difference, and the yochid mumcha is the same thing. It's just that by kiddush hachodesh, then you need to have three, and yochid mumcha, all you have to have is one. But that you need to have smicha, just like rabbinic ordination, just like you have by the halacha of kiddush hachodesh. And therefore, the Ran has a lengthy discussion regarding the opinion of the Rambam that's brought in Hilchos Shavuos, that he holds that actually no, that all you need is a rav muvik, someone that's a rabbi, to permit a neder as an individual, and it doesn't necessarily need to have the halachic interpretation of smicha, which is different than what people commonly call smicha. But that's what the Ran says, that from our sugya, seemingly it seems not like that, because it seems like that it's exactly the same thing as the parasha kiddush hachodesh, which is something that requires smicha, just there's three, and here by ataras nedarim, when you're doing it as an individual, all you would need would be one, but as long as you have smicha. Now the Gemara moves on to a related topic of hafara and akim of nedarim, which is the two options that a husband has. So it says in the pasuk, "Vim hachresh hachresh isha," meaning if the husband is going to be silent, so then it's like a passive kiyum. So if he heard about the nether that his wife made, b'yayim shamay, and he wasn't made for the nether, and it passed the day, he was silent, so that's considered an implicit validation of the nether. Now that Rabbi Chanina, he qualifies this halacha, and he says, "Hasheisik amanas lemeket." If a husband is silent just to bother his wife, in other words, she's going to think, oh my, why isn't he saying anything? He heard me make the nether. Must be because he wants me to have to live with that nether. Now, that's not his intention whatsoever. He really doesn't want her to have to live with this, but he wants to feel the heat a little bit. And he's ultimately going to be made for the nether. He just wants her to be sitting of spilkes, like they say, to feel the heat. So on that, Rabbi Chanina says, meifra afil mekan bad yud yamim. So therefore, he actually could be made for the nether, not only not today, but even up until 10 days, he could still be made for the nether. And the reason being is because when he was silent, it wasn't for the purposes of a passive type of a kiyum. He just was doing it to distress her. And therefore, it's not considered as a passive kiyum, and therefore he could still be made for it even after b'yayim shamay. Now, on that, the Gemara asks many different questions on this halach of Reb Chanina. First of all, the Gemara says, Masav Rav. He asks from the following brayso, which we've quoted in the past, that says, Emosei Amr, when did we say the halacha that's Meis Habal Nisroik Nereshus La'av? Which this halacha that we discussed lengthy in Daf Samachesim and Aleph, which basically means to say that when there's a Naira Hamayrasa, which is like the topic of our parak, we say that if she's under 12 and a half and she's engaged, so then Avio Baila Mafir Nederah, she has to have both her father and a husband to be made for the neder. So there's a halacha called Nisroikin, which is when the chasin passes away. Although up until now, 50% of the shears was by the father, and 50% of the shears was in the husband, and only together, when the two partners get together, could they be made for the nether of this kala. When the chasen passed away, there's halacha that it's nisraik, and then his shears get taken over by the father, and now he has all 100% of the shears, and therefore he could be made for the nether now by himself. So on that, the Braisa says, when was this said? That's only either bizman shalei shama habal, where the husband didn't hear about it, the chasen didn't hear about it, where we have explained in the past, therefore it's like he didn't have any activated shears. He didn't activate his 50% shears in the kala because he didn't even hear about it. So that's why it easily goes to the father. Oisha Shama and the Girs is actually Bahafir, all that he heard about it, and he was Mefer. So therefore when he dies, the father could easily take over that same Hafara and be Mefer it. Oisha Shama, or he heard, and the Girs is Vishasak, Umes by Bayayim, or he heard about it, and he was silent, but he died that same day. So although silence would be an implicit kiyum the next day, but he died that same day. So therefore, that same day, the father could still take it over and be made for the nether. Aval, that's when he could. That's when you say the halacha of nisraikin. Aval, however, shama v'kayim. But if the husband heard about it and he validated it, oy shama v'shasik umeis b'yayim shal achrav. Or if he heard about it, he wasn't mekayim it, but he was silent and he only died the following day, which is also an implicit kiyum. Then in Yachal HaHafer, that the Braisa says there's no halacha of nisraikin, because the husband already used his shares to validate the father who's inheriting that can't go negate that and then use it to be made for her. So therefore, then you wouldn't say Nisraik, and the father now would not be able to be made for the neder of his daughter even after the chasan passed away. Now, on that, the Gemara wants to infer, my love, b'shoisik amanas lemeikid. In other words, the Brisa just says that if the chasan heard about it and he was silent and he died the following day, which is like an implicit kiyum, he can't be made for anymore. Now, it doesn't talk about what are the circumstances of why he was silent. It just says that he was silent. See, that sounds like even if he was silent, to chepa her, to bother her. So obviously you see that even that silence will be considered a valid kiyum. So that refutes the halacha of Reb Chanina, who he said that no, if you're quiet with the intention of just to bother, then it's not considered kiyum. But similarly from this price, it seems like that in all circumstances, silence and then passing the day will be considered an implicit kiyum. And I think Marantz is lying. No, it's not a refutation of his opinion. It's talking about where he was silent with the intention of passively being mekayimet, which is what he wanted it to be. Where in this heart, he was thinking, yeah, I wanted to make it. Maybe he didn't have the courage to say it because maybe his father-in-law would be upset at him, but I'm proud of my wife. And he wanted it to be a kiyum. He was like, okay, I'll just wait out the day and then passively it will be a kiyum. Now, that the Gemara asks, if that's the interpretation of the Braisa, Ihachi, Haine Oisham of a kiyum, well, that's the other. There was two cases that we said that you don't say Nisraiken. One was if he hears and he validates it, he gets up and says, way to go, good. I want this to be a neder. Now, the other one was that he wasn't mekayim. He just heard and he was quiet and he died the next day. If you're saying that he was silent to be mekayim it, well, that essentially is the same thing as whether you verbalize it or you're waiting for it, but if that's the same thing as shem mekayim, what would be the necessity of saying the case of shem v'shasik if it means to be mekayim? So the Gemara concludes, no, a different approach, but still it won't refer to Reb Chanina, it's El B'Sheisik Stam. It's actually talking about where someone was silent and he didn't conclude yet what to do. He doesn't know what to do. What do I do? I just got, I'm a chassan, I'm not even married yet. And my kala made a nether. Do I refute it? Do I not? He wasn't sure what to do. But it wasn't either one. It wasn't that he was to be Mekayim. Wasn't that he knew what he's going to do. But additionally is that he wasn't doing it amanas lemeikid. He was just silent. Now, just being silent, and then he passes away the next day, which means a day passed without him being made for it, so then that's going to be considered kiyum. And therefore, that's different than the case of manas l'kayim, where, yes, shem of a kayim would be the same thing as being quiet with the intention of being mekayim. But the additional case is where he was silent, where he didn't know what to do. Then it's going to be considered kiyum if the day passes. But that doesn't refute Reb Chanina, when if, let's say, he heard about it, and he was being silent just to be make it, just to bother her, where there, obviously his intention is not for it to be a kiyum, and rather he's ultimately going to be made for, there we could say that actually it'll be like Reb Chanina, that it's not a kiyum, even if he dies the following day, because he could still be made for up until 10 days after.